I speak to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Sit long, talk much, laugh often. Those are the words on a plaque that hang in my breakfast nook. Sit long, talk much, laugh often. I think they're really good words. Words to live by. Words that have the potential of helping to create an atmosphere that I, and I would imagine many of you, want for our homes. They're simple words. They're basic words. Sit long, talk much, laugh often. The trouble is, most of us don't do it. Like Jesus' disciples, we need to be reminded, even prodded into following those words. And the prodding often comes in a variety of ways, such as a medical report, or a relationship crisis, or sometimes even a significant birthday can deliver that prod. Sit long, talk much, laugh often. It's basically what Jesus was trying to offer the disciples when he invited them to come away to a deserted place and rest a while. The disciples had returned from their mission that Jesus had sent them on two by two. They were to preach, to teach, and to heal. And they returned consumed with excitement, great enthusiasm, completely focused on the work that Jesus had given them. That was a great thing. I can almost hear their competing voices trying to tell Jesus about the time away. One is telling Jesus about how they had been received by some people, while another is telling him about the people who had been healed, while another is trying to get a word in edgewise about the people who wanted to hear their teaching. We were teaching them the things that you have taught us, Jesus. All of them talking at once, trying for Jesus' attention, for Jesus to give his nod of approval, his hand on their shoulder, saying the words, "Job well done." Kind of reminds me of the piranha hour when we were raising our sons. Every household has a piranha hour. You know you have. Ours happened about the same time every day. It was around 5 o'clock. The house would have been relatively sane, if you know what I mean. And then, as if a school of invisible piranha with their tiny, tiny sharp teeth had entered our home and were nibbling away at the peace in our home, the piranha hour would begin. One of the boys would come into the kitchen and ask what was for dinner. And my answer usually was followed by a groan. Oh, but I don't like chicken or hamburger or whatever it was that I had planned. And then the second son would appear, obviously being affected by that same school of invisible piranha, saying that his hunger was at the most extreme point, that he was going to die before dinner was ready, and he needed something now. But of course, one of the carrots that I would be cutting up wouldn't do. He would want something that I knew would ruin his appetite. So a sort of bargaining conversation would begin. Well, you may have an apple. I don't want apples. You may have a peach. Yuck. You liked them yesterday. May I have some chips? No, you can't have any chips. Drink a glass of water. That'll hold you over until dinner is ready. Oh, but I'm so hungry. And then, simultaneously, the dogs would start whining because it was their dinner time. And the hungry cat would enter the scene, moving and meowing and pushing against my legs so that every step that I would take would feel like my legs were tied together. And then it wouldn't fail. The telephone would ring. And this was when we had all the houses, the house phones, didn't have caller ID. So with the piranhas nibbling, actually no, at this point they're chomping at any sanity left in the house or in myself, the person on the other end of the phone, who was a telemarketer, would hear a quick thank you but no thank you click. And then the phone would ring again. Hello? Hi, honey. I'm on my way home. Great. Pick up some pizza on the way home. I don't have the energy to reinforce what I'm cooking. Can anyone relate? If your life doesn't now have a regular piranha hour, maybe you can recall when it did. Come away to a deserted place and rest a while. In other words, sit long, talk much, laugh often. Jesus was suggesting the disciples escape the chaos for a while. He wanted them to be able to reconnect with God, to spend time in prayer. He knew that prayer was vital. And I also imagine that he wanted them to reconnect with each other. Come away and rest. Rest. Oh, what a wonderful word. It's the kind of word that deserves to be uttered in a long, slow, outward breath. Rest. It's a break from all the hustle and bustle. It's a chance to renew, to stop, to slow down. Rest. An end of work, if only for a little while. An opportunity to stop doing so that you may simply be. Rest. Back a few years ago, UCLA put out a study. They observed the typical week of 32 middle-class families in the Los Angeles area. The idea was to get a detailed snapshot of American family life. They found the families were so consumed with working and collecting and getting ahead that they spent very little time together, enjoying what they were really looking for. Something like 50 of the 64 parents in the study rarely stepped outside in the course of about a week. When those parents gave the researchers tours of their homes, they'd say, well, here's the backyard, and I haven't had much time to go out there. Instead of their leisure time being outside, it was spent in front of the TV or at the computer. You know, we are all familiar with the commandment to keep the Sabbath holy. Think about how you interpret that commandment. Do you receive it with a tinge of a negative feeling? Thou shalt not work? Or perhaps it's more about a motivation to come to church on Sunday, which is not a bad motivation. But this is interesting. To the Hebrews who received the commandments through Moses, the people who had spent years as slaves, this commandment would have been unbelievably good news. Because time was never their own. They never had a guaranteed period of rest. So upon hearing that commandment, their response would have been, "You mean we get to rest? We even have to rest? Hallelujah!" It's not too different for us today, is it? More and more of us find ourselves in a state of slavery, like the ancient Hebrews. Except our slavery is self-constructed, self-imposed, and therefore more difficult to recognize. So what enslaves us? A variety of things, if not all of these things. Notions of success. So we work harder and we work longer and we wonder why we don't have the energy to take a walk or to be present to our spouse. We are enslaved by the notion that more stuff, more money will bring contentment. And then we wonder why the list of what we want doesn't seem to get any shorter. And we are enslaved by the ability to escape, which is different from rest. We escape in front of the TV. We escape in front of the computer, like the UCLA study showed. We escape with alcohol. We escape with sleep. And take note, restful sleep is very different from escape sleep. We escape by simply tuning another person out or shutting them out. And unfortunately, the people that we usually tune out are the most important people in our lives. What are we modeling for the children? And then one day, hopefully before it's too late, we hear Jesus' words, "Come, rest." This is not simply about taking a day off or going on vacation, which are important, and you'd better be doing it. It's important for your well-being and for yourself, of yourself and of your family. It's not about that. Jesus is offering an invitation to step away from those things, those habits that enslave us. He's inviting us to reach for life abundant, life enriched with healthy relationships and a fulfilling sense of being the person that you are created to be. The reality is, the piranha hours will continue. The hustle and bustle of life will always close in on us, and there will always be a to-do list. But no matter how trapped those things make you feel, you do have the option and the ability to choose to hear Jesus' invitation to remember what is most important in our lives. Try it out. Choose one night this week. Disconnect all of the electronics. Sit with someone. Talk about their day. Play a game. Pick up one of the Any cards. Every night in every house. If you all remember these, they're on the back table. We only have one life. How might God help you make it the best life ever? Pray about it. Come away and rest. And remember to sit long, talk much, and laugh often.